Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And once again, just for the presence of the Lord in this place and for being able to come out on a Sunday night and just to look forward to worship and to singing praises unto the Lord. And it's always an encouragement to be around other believers as well. And that's part of just assembling ourselves together. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Now, Sunday nights, we've been looking at little-known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us. And we've seen quite a few, and I trust that you've been helped by it, looking at some in the Old Testament and then some in the New Testament, kind of going back and forth. Tonight, we're going to be looking at, I call it a semi-little-known, because this particular Bible character was overshadowed by a great Bible character named Abraham. And so this passage of Scripture actually is known for Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham, which would be the beginning of God's chosen people, Israel. And what a great background that is, and what a great, mighty Bible character, the character of Abraham. But tonight, if you'll look with me, if you'll stand, we're going to be reading here in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be reading down one verse down to verse 5 and looking at the other Bible character that is found here with Abraham, and that would be the character of Lot, the character of Lot. Now, a lot of people have heard the name Lot, but have you really studied the lesson from his life that God has for us? And that's what we'll be looking at here tonight, a semi-little-known Bible character by the name of Lot. And so here in Genesis chapter 12, let's start reading verse 1. The Bible says, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Powerful Bible character, Abraham. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and unto the land of Canaan they came. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you again tonight, I want to thank you, Lord, for just another opportunity, the health and the opportunity to be in church tonight. And Father, I just pray that you would just continue to meet with us in a very special way. Lord, only you know exactly what's taken place in the hearts and the minds of all of those that are here tonight. You know the spiritual need of each one. And I pray, God, that you would take the message and use it to speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, as we look at Lot, the message I would have as we study the life of Lot would be one somewhat of a negative character. And, and as we look at this, I trust that even though it's somewhat of a negative character in Lot, there is a lot of things that we can learn through the study of the life of the Bible character and the life of Lot. And I guess the message I have tonight concerning Lot is a saved man without influence. A saved man. Can I tell you that God has a purpose for every soul that gets saved? And that soul that gets saved has within them the ability through Christ to accomplish some great things, no matter who they are. Everyone that's here tonight, if you know that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, can I tell you, God has great plans for your life. You are worth something to God. He sent His Son to die for you, and He opened the door for salvation. And as you chose to receive that free gift that God wanted you to have of eternal life, then he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within you and sealed you until the day of redemption. God has a purpose and a plan for every individual that receives Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And now, the younger you are, the more time and the greater opportunities you will have because you're just beginning your life. Sometimes, as we get saved later on in life, we've already made some bad decisions that have limited certain things in our lives. But if we would just look to God as young people and continue to make the right decisions that God would have you to make, you could have a powerful impact on society. God can work through each one of us to do a great and mighty work. As we find Abraham, my goodness, what a powerful example he was. But tonight our study is on Lot, a saved man without influence. Now we'll get into how that we know he was saved because the Bible says that he was a righteous man in the New Testament, a righteous man. No doubt he was a saved man. He received the truth of God. And we find here that the very first mention of Lot, we find Lot was Abraham's nephew. Now over in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31, it said, "And Terah took Abram, his son," this is Abraham's father, "took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran's, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there." And God was working in their lives, and he got them to come and dwell there. And then in chapter 12, we find how Abraham meets with God. And God reveals to Abraham that I have a powerful plan for your life. If you look to me and do as I tell you to do, your life will impact the lives of every family on earth. My goodness. I mean, that's the plans. He said in verse 3, "And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." What great plans. Somehow, Lot knew of these great plans. And we find that as Abraham's nephew, Lot started out right. He started out by looking to Abraham, who was looking to God. And as Abraham wanted to be faithful to be all that God wanted him to be, he was an influence on a nephew named Lot that because of Abraham's faith, Lot wanted to follow Abraham. That's how he starts out here. Lot chose to follow Abraham and probably had to talk him into taking him with him. I don't know how all that transpired, but we do know that Abraham would take Lot with him. Lot chose to follow Abraham after Abraham chose to follow the Lord. So Abraham agrees to mentor Lot. Basically, that's how Lot starts out. He has a mentor whose name is Abraham. Now, that's powerful because as we look around, there's no person that's being used mightily of God that did not have a mentor somewhere, did not have those in their lives that would influence them for the cause of Christ. Could have been parents, could have been Sunday school teachers, could have been pastors, could have been youth workers, it could have been a lot of, and it could have been all of the above. But I'm telling you that no one develops into a mighty servant of God without having, first of all, having mentors that will help them on their way. Once a person gets saved, they need someone to help them because the Bible says when we first get saved, we become as babes in Christ. Matter of fact, Paul understood this. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. 1 Corinthians, the first thing that we learn about Lot, he started out right. He desired to follow the one in his life that was following God. And so in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, in verse 15, as Paul is writing to the church at Corinth here in chapter 4, he says this, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ..." Now, where did that 10,000 come from? The possibility. There's probably 10,000 believers around them. I don't know. There might have been 10,000 there in court. I don't know, but that's what the Bible says. "Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Paul understood that when he led somebody to Christ, that that person who would lead another to Christ would have a very important role to play in mentoring that one that was led to Christ through them. I've often heard this, and I've often said this as well, in order to win souls, you have to win them to yourself before you can win them to Christ. They've got to want what you want. They have to want what you have. They have to see something different in you. And so it's very important that we understand our testimony of influence is very important as we win the lost to Christ. And so that's what I think Paul is getting across here. He says, you have a lot of those around that can be somewhat of an instructor and help you in this, there, and that area, and this area. But you only have one father or one person that would have led you to Christ. "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Paul says, I will take that position of influence, and I will gladly look to mentor anyone that God would allow me to be able to introduce to Jesus Christ. He takes on that testimony. He takes on that opportunity to mentor. And then he says in verse 17, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus," which was one of those young men that he was mentoring, "who is my beloved son in the faith and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Now again, we find over, he would say in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, verse 1, he says this, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." That's so very important. Paul knew that God would use the one who led them to Christ most often. That would be the mentor. Now, it could be that somebody led you to Christ, and then that's how God used them, and they maybe got you in church or whatever it might be, and then God brought somebody else into your life to mentor you. That happens quite often as well. But the idea there is, as we are leading others to Christ, we ought to first of all realize it is my influence for Christ in their lives that will help them to make a decision to receive Jesus. And once they receive Jesus, they need somebody to help them to understand, what do I do now? Because they're infancy. They're in an infant stage when you first get saved. You just know, just as a baby. The baby doesn't understand much about life, but they do know that they have life, and they find out what needs to be done in order to be fed. And they do that quite often, right? Praise the Lord for those who know that they're saved and they want to follow the Lord, and I'm just crying out saying, I want to be fed. I want to know what I'm supposed to do. I want to grow in my understanding of the Word of God. I want to grow in my understanding of Jesus Christ. I want to understand all that God wants me to understand. And as you do that, God brings people into your lives that will help you and instruct you and mentor you. Praise the Lord for that. We find this in Lot's life. He chose the right things. He chose a man that was following God. And he said, wherever you go, I want to go. Because I want to learn what you have to teach me. I want to have a relationship with the Lord as I see you in your relationship with God. How important that is. So he started out right. Lot was possibly wrongly impacted by Abraham's brief lack of faith. Abraham had to learn some things. And Lot, I think, would be somewhat of a casualty of one of Abraham's first mistakes. Go back with me. I'll share this with you. Genesis chapter 12. Now, he's already heard from God, and God's promised that he is going to take care of him and that God would bless him. Well, we find right after this, there was a trial. There was a famine in the land. Abraham's already left, and Lot is looking to Abraham. He looked at Abraham, what are we going to do in the midst of a trial? And there was a famine in the land, verse 10, chapter 12. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, God would instruct if there's famine in their land, then it's because there's a judgment of God, and look to Him to be able to help you in that midst of the famine. Going to Egypt would be like going to the world for the help and not God. And it came to pass when it was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife, and they shall kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Abraham. Mighty Abraham. He would become a mighty man of God, but there was some rough edges that need to be knocked off, as all of us. And there's no man that's perfect, and there's going to be things that we make mistakes with. And the bad thing about it is when we make mistakes, those that are looking to us have a wrong influence. And so Abraham, first of all, instead of looking to God, he went into the world, he went to Egypt, and then he asked his wife to save his own life to lie for him. Now, that's not God's will. We would find out some of the other things later on, but listen to me, the one that learned this as well and that was influenced by this was Lot. It was a bad decision. Lot possibly thought you could justify doing wrong by looking to Abraham. Went to Egypt. Maybe there's a time when you can go to the world. When he had his wife lie, maybe there's a time that you can justify lies. The world would tell you the end justifies the means. And sometimes even in Christianity, you have some believe that the end justifies the means. Can I tell you, the end does not justify the means. It is never right to do wrong, to have the opportunity to do right. It's never right to do wrong. Bob Jones Sr., amen. I love that. Just do right. Don't justify doing wrong. Just do right. Trust God. Do right by God. Do right according to what the Word of God tells us and teaches us. This would not be an excuse for Lot. But can I tell you that I'm confident the Bible has it there to help us when we're looking at the life of Lot to see how this life of Lot began with to choose right, wanted to be influenced by Abraham because of Abraham's walk with God, and it will go in a reverse direction here in just a little bit. And what the Bible reveals to us in between is Abraham's mistakes, Abraham's sin, and how it might have impacted that one that he was mentoring. And I know of a lot of other situations in life where somebody's mentor was not all that you thought he was. And their sins have impacted so many other people's lives. no excuse for Lot, but it could explain, even later on, Abraham's sense of responsibility for Lot. Matter of fact, let's look there in Genesis chapter 14. This is after Lot chooses to go to Sodom, and as he's in Sodom, and Sodom now gets invaded, and Lot and Abraham hears about Lot being taken into captivity, going into Sodom, and now would not have been the best choice. We'll see that in just a minute, but we find here that Lot now has been taken captive out of Sodom, and Abraham puts his army together to go and rescue Lot. In chapter 14 and verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brother, and that would be his nephew Lot, but his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And so even though Lot took advantage of Abraham in decision to go to Sodom and to take that land, we find now that in the land, and Lot gets in trouble, Abraham feels somewhat responsible, and Abraham sends his own army to rescue Lot, and they do rescue them. And then if you look down to verse 22, after he rescued him, and even the king of Sodom comes unto him, and the Bible says, and Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Abraham didn't do it for Sodom. He didn't do it for the king of Sodom. He didn't do it for the Sodomites. He went there because he felt some responsibility for Lot. Could be traced back to his wrong influence in Lot's life. He would even have to pray and ask God not to destroy Sodom because of Lot. Later on. Well, go back with me to Genesis chapter 13 as we continue our study on this Bible character named Lot. Now they come out of Egypt and God blesses both Abraham and Lot. And now their servants are becoming overcrowding the one little area that they were in. And so Abraham sees this, and in verse 8, chapter 13, verse 8, and Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Now we find that Abraham taking the high road. Abraham chooses that I'll let you have whatever you want. I want to have a testimony for God. Praise the Lord for that. Now he's still back trying to be the right influence and in mentoring Lot. Praise the Lord for that. And so we find here that Lot was given a choice for his future. How would he respond? Is not the whole land before thee, verse 9. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. I think that's Christ-likeness right there, amen? Our testimony is more important than anything that we could possess in this world. Whatever you want, whatever you think's right, let's do it. But let's keep and maintain a proper testimony, which is an influence. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose. He chose. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. What does the Bible say that he used to make the decision? He lifted up his eyes. what would benefit me the most. He didn't consider God. The Bible doesn't say that he prayed and asked God. He didn't consider Abraham. Well, what would my decision do for you, Abraham, which you are mentoring me? Without you, amen, without you, I wouldn't even know God. He didn't consider Abraham. Sad, he didn't even consider his own family. He chose by looking at what would be most desirable for himself. Now, that principle of choosing that, I think we find over in the book of 1 Timothy, and something that we are warned about in Christianity. In 1 Timothy in chapter 6, that's not the how we make decisions. We make decisions based upon God, His will for our lives, and all the other circumstances that God is in control of, how this will impact our lives and how this will impact other lives. We find here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, "But they that will be rich." This is where the money, it looks like it's going to be the wealthiest and the most desirous place to live. It's going to really encourage us financially. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Lot, you're getting ready to get drowned. And then the Bible makes this statement, which a powerful statement, "For the love of money, not wealth, but the love of it is the root." Means it's what Satan uses most often of all evil. "Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith," it's not the way God would have us to do things, "and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So if that was the case for Lot, do you think you have an idea of what's to come? And studying the life of Lot, I think that if you know the Word of God, then you understand what's going to come. Because that decision, although I believe that Lot would have been a wealthy man now living in Sodom, he would have had a place of prestige in Sodom. He would be one of those that would oversee the streets of Sodom. But Lot's decision left him a saved man with no influence. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look in chapter 19. Let's go there, because this is where we find it. In Genesis chapter 19, Lot and his family now, and he's raised his children, partially some of his children, been raised in Sodom. And now we find that God has been long-suffering enough. It was evident that Lot had not made the impact on Sodom that he could have made if he would have been living for God and doing what God wanted him to do in Sodom. That had not happened. And so God has decided to destroy Sodom. And chapter 19 and verse 1, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom." A position that he had in a wicked city. That's not a testimony that anyone ought to be proud about. Having a position in a wicked city. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. "And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, 'Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way.' And they said, 'Nay, but we will abide in the street all night.'" He's trying to blind what's taken place in his city and what he's been doing from God and the representation that God sent. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. And before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. That would indicate a sexual relationship. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. And they said, stand back. Now, behold, and he said, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters. I don't know that I can understand this at all. How somebody could go so far. I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said, again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, these angels, with the power of God, and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. But God gives us a little insight into what had happened to Lot. And what we find, first of all, in Lot, he had no influence over his city. Lot addressed the wicked men of the city as brethren. He had accepted and condoned and brought them in to his own family. That was not the influence that God would have wanted for a born-again believer to have in a place like Sodom. Lot should have been standing on the street corners, if nothing else, and preaching the Word of God. He should have established a church. He should have established a place of worship. He should have done something to be an influence on his city. Praise the Lord for the influence that God has on the city of Indianapolis through this Lighthouse Baptist Church. I mean, we have made an impact over these last 30 years. God has used this church in a great and mighty way because God says, I want a church planted in Indianapolis that will represent me because I want there to be an influence in the city of Indianapolis. That's why we go soul winning. That's why we run buses. That's why we go and invite people in. That's why we try to do everything we can to minister and to get the gospel out and to help change people's lives. God has a purpose for his church. God has a purpose for every believer. You ought to be an influence to where God's planted you. In verse 14, not only did he have no influence over his city, he had no influence over his adult children. When he knew that they were going to destroy the city, he went to try to get his own family to leave with him. And the Bible says in verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters. So you have given your daughters to these types of men. And said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked. How's come we haven't heard anything before now? Have you went crazy, old man? What are you saying? First we've heard of this. There's a God? What we're doing is wrong? There's judgment upon sin? And he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Can I tell you, this reveals that they were not raised to honor God ignore their parents. They did not want to hear about God and how they were doing something that was opposite to God's will for their lives. They did not want to acknowledge that God was alive, that He would judge the lifestyle that they were living in Sodom. They did not want to recognize Lot as having any authority in their lives to tell them what to do or be an influence, to encourage them to leave the city, because they had not been raised to honor God nor their parents. I love what the book of Proverbs says. Let me just read it to you. In Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, it says this: the rod and reproof give wisdom. That, there's so much there. We won't go there. I want you to see the second half of this, which actually connects to the first half, but it says this: but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Which is telling us, don't leave it to the child to determine how they're going to live their lives. Discipline them and bring them under subjection. Help them to understand that there's a God. Help them to understand what is right and what is wrong. Help them to understand that they are to obey their parents. Help them to understand the way that God wants them to be raised. If you leave children to raise themselves, they're not going to make the right decisions in their lives. Talking to somebody earlier about this. Knucklehead parents that say, well, I'm not going to force religion on my child. You shouldn't force religion, but you ought to teach them the Bible. You ought to teach them what God says about what they ought to be doing in honoring their parents and what they ought to be doing in honoring God and giving their lives to Christ and being dedicated to live concerning the will of God. Can't leave them to themselves. As we study in our Sunday morning Sunday school and understand the doctrines of our faith, we are all born sinners because we are born with a sin nature. And that sin nature left to itself will commit every type of sin imaginable. So Lot now, knowing the city is going to be destroyed, had to face the reality. I've had no influence over my city. I have no influence over my adult children. And they're going to die in the destruction of Sodom. Lastly, he would have no influence over his own wife. Wow. Did you realize that was going to take place, Lot, when you made the decision with your eyes to go to Sodom? Verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise and take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Lot knew. Got to influence at least my wife and my two children. Don't look behind. Don't look behind. Look down to verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him. And right before Lot's very eyes, she became a pillar of salt. A pillar of salt. Why would God choose to make her a pillar of salt? Matthew chapter 5. Possibly to relate to what Jesus would teach his disciples. Verse 13, chapter 5. Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." "But if the salt have lost his savor," the influence of the salt, if you will, the testimony of salt, "wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men." Lot invested in Sodom, and eventually it was burned. And he lost what really mattered most. One last verse and we're done. 2 Peter, let me just read it to you. 2 Peter chapter 2 says this about Lot. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. See, Lot could have made a difference. Could have. Because the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 7 of 2 Peter, and God, the Bible says, "and delivered just Lot." He was a man that had the hand of God upon him at one time. He was just Lot, but vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He allowed the people of Sodom to influence him and his family more than he was influencing the men and people of Sodom. And because they were the greater influence, it was vexing his soul. "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man," the Bible says God puts it down as a righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, "vexed his righteous soul every day." From day to day, with their, not necessarily his. I don't know that Lot gave in to the sins of Sodom, but he condoned and received the sins of the Sodomites and referred to them as brothers. Listen to me, we need to love people because God loves all humanity, but we cannot associate with the sins of the world. We cannot be looked at as condoning the sins of the world. Our influence ought to be above that. We ought to influence them. Jesus was a friend of sinners, but he was never a friend of sin. Whenever he was the influence, you can find him being around sinners. He would never allow the sinner to have the influence over him. And every day, he got more and more to his family. Every day, he lost more and more of his own influence. He could have made a difference. But in the end, Lot was a saved man with no influence. That's a sad place to be. Guard your testimony. Guard your testimony. It's what you have to be used by Almighty God to accomplish God has us here to accomplish. Your testimony is priceless. It's priceless. Don't lose it.